Hi everyone, welcome back to the Grace and Hope Consulting Podcast. I'm your host, Shu Allegra. If you're new to me, I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. You can find out more about what we do at graceandhopeconsulting.com. So we are talking about resilience. You know, if you've been around the block, you know, been with us in the past 6 years that we existed, everything we do is about helping people rise above their circumstances. So this is not new to us, but we wanted to make sure that we expand this conversation, if you want, to invite more friends and so that we, you know, make the conversation more, you know, just richer and deeper, if you want. And so today I have a new friend with me, China. Do you mind just sharing who you are, what you do, where you're located?
Yes. Well, first off, thanks for having me. I appreciate that. I am a lot of things. I'm a writer. I used to be a massage therapist. I was a real estate investor, but foremost, I am a disciple, you know, and I am a follower of Christ. I believe that without faith, you're really just dust in the wind, you know? Mm-hmm. So until you find your faith, until you get connected with God, I believe that you can't really find your true purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. I wrote a book, A Letter to God, based on my life. And it was a lot of trials and tribulations. And but I got through them all with my faith, you know. Without it, I really don't think I could have, you know. And that was from going to new places and not understanding them and the trials there and just life. Because life will sometimes, I don't know if you know, but I know a lot of people know that life will kick you in the teeth, you know, and when it does that, basically you have to ask for God's help, you know, mm-hmm. and his hand to help you, you know, and if you don't do that, it's going to be a struggle because we can't do anything without God, you know, and the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be, you know.
Yeah, no, I definitely echo those words and same sentiment here. Life, you know, life happens, right? And then when you hit those, you know, those hurdles and those challenges in life, you know, none of us on our own strength can just snap out of it, get through it, you know? And so for all those of our people of faith, we, you know, we expect that things will get better, but it's not just by our own doing. We know that, you know, there is a God who's bigger and greater than all of us, who orchestrates, you know, things in everything to work for our good. Right? And yeah, and definitely in those moments where I can't find the strength to take one more step, I know that he will carry me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. And I like that your book is about, like you said, letters to God, right? And so mm-hmm. it's most of the time when we go for trials, when we go for challenges, we, you know, naturally in my background, you know, in mental health is like, I can kind of, so I bring my background into this conversation. It's like often when we go for trials, challenges of any kind, it's our human nature to retreat, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. finding that when people are not doing well, when things, you know, things get hard, it's like they pull away. I don't want to be a burden to anybody. And then we often tend to isolate and pull away and just kind of, you know, be our own person per se. But then they'll happen, it cuts us from all support system, right? Or right. even prevents us from creating new support systems. And right. when we're not supported, we get weaker because we are fighting our battles on our own. You know, mm-hmm. we don't have the fellowship of the body of Christ, don't have fellowship, no, people around us. And we all tend also to pull away from God. Sometimes people even get mad at God when things don't go right. And, you know, we all have those moments and God can take it. You know, I tell my clients, it's okay. God can take it. You can give it to him. He'll take it. But then he'll put you in your place.
No, right. That's right. What he does. Well, a lot of people tell me my story is kind of like, or I'm kind of like Job. Did you ever read the book of Job?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He went through a lot, and but he still didn't curse God. You know, he believed that God had a plan. He believed that, you know, maybe it was the devil. You know, he never cursed God. And that's the way I am. I don't get mad at God. I don't blame God. I don't say, where are you, God? You know, because I believe that bad and good is all part of the plan. You know, when you go through bad stuff, you should come out learning something. You know, maybe it wasn't all the other person's fault. You know, I'm not saying if you got sexually assaulted that it's your fault. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that God gives us free will also, you know, so that free will, you know, helps us how to deal with things, you know, because do you want to take the path of anger and you know, vengeance, or do you want to take the path to maybe help people who have been sexually assaulted as well? You know, maybe it was you, the one that could set them straight, you know, with God's help. So I think I'm different than, you know, I like to say I walk on a different path, you know, than other people. And I say that because I am different, and I know everybody's different, but I'm more different than other people because I look at things differently. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, that by no means, you know, but what I'm saying is that when things happen, I try to look at that other person's side too, even if they were wrong, you know, maybe they had a reason for that. You know, I know sometimes if I snap at people, you know, it could be that I had a bad day. You know, it doesn't mean that I'm a nasty person. You know, it could be that, you know, I really had a bad day and this person comes along and they were the straw that broke the camel's back, you know. So I try to understand other people, but at the same time, I set people straight. You know, this is the way it really happened, you know. So, like I said, I'm different, but with God's help, I've become this person, you know. I wasn't always this person. Yeah, I always had faith. When I was a little girl and we would go to church, I would sit there and cry, you know, and I couldn't figure out why. I'm thinking, why am I crying? You know, there's no reason for me to cry. But I found out later, someone very special explained to me that it's because you love God so much, you know, when you hear his word, you connect to it, you feel it. And it's the truth. He hit it right on the head. He basically made me realize why I was crying, because I love God so much. And when I hear his word, it just, you know, it's like a love song. You know, you feel it, you know. So, yeah, life is hard and you will get kicked in the teeth. Most people can say that, you know. And I like to express this as well. Your kicked in the teeth might not be my kicked in the teeth, because you might go through something and I might go, well, that wasn't so bad. You know, but you have to understand that you could take so much and I could take so much, but our levels might not be the same, yeah. You know? So I am not going to, you know, diminish what you went through, because what you went through to you might be horrific. To me, it might not be nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I try to understand that. And I think we all should do that, you know, try to understand where people are coming from, you know? I believe in live and let live, mm-hmm. You know, I try not to judge people, because who am I? It's not my place. You know, people do it a lot, you know, they did this. It's not our place to judge people. It's our place to understand people, mm-hmm. You know, and if the world would realize that, you know, I think it would be a better place. If the world would communicate more, I think it'd be a better place. You know, this is where human beings are lacking. you know, communication. I see it every day. You know, I notice it all the time. People don't want to communicate. And I've never been like that. If I'm having a problem, and you might even go, wow, this girl's crazy. But I will communicate what I'm going through or, you know, what I need. You know, you have to be able to communicate. Don't be afraid of that ever. I'm telling you, your listeners, don't be afraid to communicate and get your point out there. I'm not saying be aggressive. I'm saying, you know, hey, if your boss is treating you bad, I'm not gonna, you know, quit and badmouth him. I'm gonna tell him right off the jump, hey, don't treat me like that. I'm your best worker. What's going on? You know what I mean? Like communication. I have done it. You know, I've done it in relationships. If you're having a relationship and people and your boyfriend or husband is, you know, not treating you right, tell him. How sometimes I used to be a massage therapist, and this is a true story. And I massaged the husband and the wife. Mm-hmm. And the husband would tell me, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with her. She's always mad at me. I just can't make her happy. And then the wife would tell me, he doesn't listen. I'm talking to him, he doesn't listen. Maybe I'm not telling him the right way, but I'm telling him what I want, and he's not listening to me. And of course, you take an oath when you're a licensed massage therapist, you cannot repeat what people say. So I couldn't tell him what she was saying, and I couldn't tell her what he was saying. They eventually divorced, you know, but guess what? It was all because of lack of communication. You know, they weren't expressing, you know, what they wanted enough, I guess, you know, and he wasn't listening. And so I kept saying, you know, you guys need to go to therapy. You know, I'm not your therapist. You know, I'm here for the muscles. But so lack of communication, you know, it's a big thing, you know. And with God too, we have to communicate with God, you know. Otherwise, I don't think he'll know what we want. You know, yeah, God knows everything. He knows our heart. He likes to be talked to, you know, and I'm not one of these people, oh Lord, you know, I'm like, hey, yo, this ain't right. You know, I'm trying to think what I should do. Can you help me? You know, there's no particular prayer. You know, people believe that, oh, you got to get down on your knees. I could be in the bathroom and I'll be praying to God, you know. Yeah, I need this, and you know, I really need this, and I want to help this person. I wanted to. God wants to hear what you have to say. You know, I believe that's why he gave you a voice. He didn't give you a voice for no reason. He didn't give a snake a voice. You know, he didn't give a mouse a voice. He gave human being voices. And I think he did that because he wants to hear us. You know, he wants to hear what we're thinking, what we're feeling. You know, and communication, very important.
Yeah. I mean, those are, you touched on quite a few things there, and that were going to be my follow-up question. So, you know, you did a great kind of good full package.
Go for
there,
it.
You know, no, that was really good. And I like how you kind of brought it all back together, because here's, you know, kind of going back to some of the things you said. So we all go for life, things happen, right? And then when things happen, sometimes we internalize it, you know, and we can internalize it, or we can start playing the victim, right? And where, like you say, you start, you know, blaming people and like, you know, why did they do this? Why did they do that? And actually sometimes it helps for your own good, your own progress, your own healing, your own, you know, your own victory, to start asking yourself, what might be going on with them? It's not to excuse the behavior, but sometimes when you look at it from that perspective, it helps you find that resilience. It helps you move forward. I think those are some things that, you know, actually we have a book that just came out yesterday, Be Resilient. And
congratulations.
Workbook, we talk about, you know, how communication is important. So kind of back to that. So, you know, getting that different perspective, right, will help you overcome, you know, conquer what we call victim mindset, you know, the victim mentality. And then even once you get to that space where you You no longer feel like a victim. You need to also communicate, right? Communicate with yourself first, even to be able to acknowledge, this is how I feel about this stuff. You know, don't keep it inside. Because inside, it just harbors bitterness. You know, you get mad at yourself, mad at people, mad at God, mad at the world. And you're just like, that's not a good place to be mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's not a good place to be.
No, so I agree.
You know, with yourself first, to acknowledge what you're feeling, but then communicating also, like you said, with others. So that sometimes, you know, there's a lot of times where we feel hurt, we feel offended, and it was a total miscommunication. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just like, I thought they meant this, but they thought you wanted that. And then you lost in translation, I call it, right? And sometimes even with the best intentions, the best intention and still not meet your outcome. You can everything just right the way you thought it should be because your intention was to do X, Y, and Z. But the person who receives it on a different frequency. Right. And it's almost like those radio frequency, right? It just receives on a different radius, if you want, per se, or frequency, and then you miss each other. All your intentions were right. You know, you did everything in a very nice and loving and godly way, but you still did not meet each other's need, and you still did not connect because you're on a different frequency.
Right.
No, and this is sad, like you said, with the couple end up divorcing, but even outside of marriage, think about, you know, friendships, think about, you know, ministry, think about things at work. That happens a lot where we meet each other because we don't take the time to communicate.
Right. I agree. And you know, it's very important. I think it really is to learn how to communicate. My daughter, she's 13, but I'm teaching her how to communicate, you know, say what you want. It's not, you know, people who don't say what they want, they don't get what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be able to communicate with people, and it helps, you know, to get you through life. It really does. And you were talking about being a victim. Well, see, I told you before, I walk on a different path. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe in victims. I believe in survivors.
Yes. Oh, I'm with you on that.
Seconds after whatever happened, you're no longer a victim unless it's still happening. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know the definition of victim, you know that while this is happening to you, you're a victim. Mm-hmm. After that is over, you're not a victim anymore. Mm-hmm. But what people do is they stay stuck, you know? And the best way to move forward when you're stuck is to do that, move forward. Because without moving forward, you can't be who God wants you to be because you're stuck. If you're in a sand pile or, you know, quicksand, you're not able to move, right? But eventually you get out, obviously. Eventually you get out, right? So the same with any traumas in our lives. Eventually we get out. You know, sometimes we have to make the moves to get out, whether you're in a violent relationship or abusive relationship. You know, you should be trying to make the moves to get out. You know, you don't want to stay in that quicksand or, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use. You don't want to stay there, you know, because it's not healthy. It's not good for you. You know, it might not be good for your children. So you want to move forward. You want to make moves to move forward. Okay. And when you do that, you're no longer a victim. You're a survivor of those things. Mm-hmm. So people of when something happens, you know, they stay in that mindset. And this could be 20 years later, I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. You know, when did that happen? 45 years ago. Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not saying that what you went through wasn't horrible, but you're still sad. You're still, you know, we are supposed to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. It's the reason why our feet are facing forward. Mm-hmm. We must move forward. It's for our human health. You know, it's for our mental health, you know, it's for our physical health, it's for, like you said, spiritual health. Yeah. We have to move forward. And God can't do that for us. He can help us, but he can't move us forward.
Unless we make the decision to do so ourselves. Yeah, you have to decide, and God supports you and provides the energy and the strength for you to move forward. But I love what you said, our feet are facing forward because we are meant to move forward. I love that. And I want to kind of, you know, piggyback a little bit on the whole communication thing. Yes, it's important, but I also wanted to just, you know, clarify that we all communicate in different ways.
Definitely. So,
you know, just like we're all different, right? We're all creative,
yes,
you know, in ourselves. And so it's finding the way that you communicate. And sometimes that might not be the way someone else communicates.
Definitely.
And, you know, most of us will say, yes, we have a voice, but we also have, you know, physical voice that we can, you know, we can hear you, audible voice per se. But we also, those, you know, people, I've been there where I've had a stroke and could not communicate verbally. And I had to find other ways to communicate. Whether it was writing, it was, you know, it was using my hands with gestures, was pointing at things, right? But no matter, you know, if you're here, you're like, oh, well, you know, I was born with not the ability to use my voice, or something happened, like for me, you know, for my health, that I couldn't use my voice more for a period of time. I want you to know that you can still communicate. So find those ways, find those tools, find those resources for you to still, you still have a voice, no matter if it's audible or not.
Right, I agree.
I just leave that there. You have a voice. And many of us, when we go through traumas, right, we lose our voice because traumas make us feel disempowered. We're like, I cannot get over this. And that's trauma by definition, right? Mm-hmm. But when you remember that you have to move forward, you start finding that voice to tell yourself, I can, I will, and I am moving forward.
Yeah. But ask for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be your voice. You know, if the Holy Spirit can move mountains, He could move your voice, you know, and like you said, maybe it could be writing a letter to that person and getting your feelings on, you know, paper so that they can see what you're feeling, what your heart is, you know, whatever that is. But communication, however you do it, is important, you know, because then people won't know, you know, what you want, you know. People aren't mind readers, you know. I just tell my children this. I'm not a mind reader. How did I know that you wanted that? Mm-hmm. You know, was I supposed to guess it? You know, you're an individual and you want different things than I do. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, God made everybody different, you know, so you might want, you know, this or that. And I might go, really? You know, but what matters is that you go through life accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. And you can't do that if you don't communicate. You know, if you want a specific job, you know, I know people who have done this. They'll fill out an application. I'll go, okay, did you hear anything back? No, I filled out the application. Okay, well, remember, they don't need a job, you do. So it's like, call them. You know, I remember when I was going for my license to be a massage therapist, the board basically is the last decision I got. They call it grandfathered in. Okay. I didn't have a license, but when they started giving licenses to massage therapists, you had to get grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Now you had to meet a certain criteria, like you had to, you know, be a massage therapist for so many years, blah, blah, blah. There was rules that had to be, you know, required. And I kept calling. They knew me by first name. I was like, hello, this is Manzaretta. Oh, I know Manzaretta. How's it going? Well, I was just wondering how you guys are on that grandfathering in license thing.
Persistence, yes.
And
persistence
like
helps us rise above our circumstances. Right on. Right on.
Sure. So I think it's good for your listeners to know, go after what you want, you know, and with God's help, He will help you, but He's not going to hold your hand. You know, He might hold your hand, but He's not going to push you where you need to be. You need to go where you need to be. You know, God has, you know, He's going to sit back and watch, you know, and see how you overcome things. He wants to see, you know, how you, you know, live your life. You know, I tell my children sometimes, you know, God is watching, you know, so try to be the best person you can be, you know, and that's very important. And if that entails communicating, sometimes it entails not saying anything, you know, sometimes I learned that.
It's communication. Yes. Sometimes there's time to just shut up.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I've learned that with age, you know, okay, time to shut up now. Okay. Mm-hmm. They got your point across, time to let it go, you know, but yeah, so you know, as long as your listeners know that God is always there for them, you know, and he's got a call, they got to, you know, talk to him, tell God what they want, you know, and they can do that in a letter as well. If they don't feel, you know, like they can talk to him, you know, definitely. I've written letters, you know, to God, and that's what this book is about.
Yeah, sure. Awesome.
You know, awesome. A letter to God, you know, and it's a letter to God because there's 7 series and only volume 1 has been published and I'm working on volume 2, but it's a letter to God. Because our lives are a letter, you know, and when we live our lives out, you know, what the question is, what do we want our story to be? You know, what do we want it to be? Because my story basically, yeah, there were some trials and tribulations, but I came out on top. You know, I came out on top because I believed in God, and I knew that that trial wouldn't last. And I knew tomorrow would be a better day, you know, and it always happened. It always happened till this day. Tomorrow's always a better day, you know, and I remember one time I was a single mom. I had a boyfriend, but basically, you know, I took care of my children. And I wanted to send my son to Bermuda with my sister. I have a sister who lives in Bermuda. And I needed $500. And I worked at extra shifts. And at the end of working all those extra shifts, I added up my money and I was $500 short. And so, I said to God, you know, I really want to send him to Bermuda, you know, and I don't want to send him there with no money. That's not right. You know, my sister shouldn't have to take on, you know, financial for him, you know, because I'm sure he wanted to do stuff. And if they were doing stuff, he could be able to do that, have some spending money. So $500 would do it. Well, the next day I got up and I got my mail out the mailbox. And I had a check from the government, $500. Clinton was president then, and he gave people extra money. And it was $500 and that, you know. So I said to God what I needed. And my hand to him, it was exactly the amount that I needed. So he listens if we talk, you know. And sometime, hold on to your seats, because sometime, what you want might not be what you need, and then you don't get it.
Yes, and there's a difference. There is a difference.
There is a difference.
Right, and yeah. Oh goodness, and you and I can talk you know, all day long because I you know, we see things you know, eye to eye, and so yeah, I like to, I always like to make the difference between our wants and our needs, right? And the Bible tells us that He provides for all our needs. According to His riches and glory, not all our wants, not all our needs.
Yeah.
And then yes, that when we make God a delight, that He does provide what our heart wants. But it always has to be in accordance with, you know, His master plan for us, right? And so that's the whole part of resilience too. When you grow spiritually, you're so in tune with God that even so, you start wanting what He wants for you.
Yeah.
And then those needs and wants sometimes become blurred because, you know, your intentions are not just pure, but they're higher. You vibrate a different frequency, right? You're not just looking for things that here and now. You're looking for things with eternal significance, right? And that's so important. It's important. The one thing I want to piggyback on too, when you said about God, you know, God won't push you. God will sit there and watch. And I want to, I think I know what you meant. It's what I often refer to as God is not a gangster. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. Right. He's there to support us. He's always there. He's never going to leave us. He's there going to listen. He knows our thoughts and intentions even before we say them. But guess what? Because he's a gentleman, he's going to allow you to enter his presence, right? And for, you have to want it for yourself. And
free will.
He's not going to come and violently grab you like, you got to do this. That's his way.
No.
He gives us choices, choices. And then you have to decide, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And so everything starts with that decision, with that mindset of wanting to be better, wanting to do better. And then, yes, God, the Holy Spirit imparts us to do those things and to live better, like you said, but also gives us the strength to overcome those, those obstacles as things, that happen in life. So just shortly, without giving too many details, like what are some of the, we've been talking about the thing, in general, that you overcome, just for a listener, sometimes, people are like, oh yeah, she doesn't know my story. That I get that a lot too. And I'm like, well, you don't know mine either. So it's good to people kind of know, if you just, if I haven't gone into detail, just kind of listing, what are some of the bigger things that you say, you could say, oh my goodness, I got through this, by God's grace. So people can just kind of relate and see where all this wisdom and knowledge come from and, from those experiences.
Okay. My book starts out telling when I was 10 years old. My mother came to me and she said that I was going to Africa, live in Africa. And I said, what? And she said, your sister, my oldest sister, had won a scholarship to study abroad. Mm-hmm. And we were going to Cairo, Egypt, and she was supposed to study archaeology. Mm-hmm. And so I was young, so they tell me that she didn't really want that anymore. After mm-hmm. she got into it, she didn't like that, so she dropped that major and changed it to agriculture. Okay. So we left Egypt and we went to Zambia, Africa, where she went to a college there. Nice. And we lived on campus. And it got to the point where she was meeting friends and there I was, and I'm thinking, she's never home. At first it started out, we were sisters, I'm combing her hair, I'm putting lipstick on her, and we're having a great time and it was wonderful. And then all of a sudden she got friends. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking, what's going on here? So she started coming home less and leaving me with people and not coming home and all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, and being mean and, mm-hmm. So I'm praying to God, asking him to help me because this isn't, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. So one day, she left me with a friend and she went to another country with some friends. And I'm with this friend and the friend had went out and I'm sitting on the floor and I'm begging God to help me because I need to go home, and I didn't want to be there. And just to go back a little bit, before that I had wrote a letter to my mom, expressing that, I wanted to go home. And my sister was very upset about that, because she didn't want anybody knowing that I wasn't having a good time. That would have made her look bad now that I think about where she was coming from, So she ripped the letter up and she said, write a good letter. That's a bad letter. You don't want people thinking, you're not having a good time. I'm thinking, well, I'm not having a good time. So I wrote a letter and the letter said, I remember it very clearly. And it said, I hope everyone is well. Things are great here. Kiss my dog, Gogo. Mm-hmm. So my other sisters and my mom read this letter and they were like, that's not her. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I tell it, always since I was little, I tell it the way it is, mm-hmm. and they're thinking, something's not the way. Yeah, she don't talk like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm on my knees and I'm praying to God, asking him, to help me. And, I want to go home. And there was a knock at the door. And so I go to the door and excuse me, and answer the door, and the police are there with the UN. And they took me from there home. They put me on a plane and I went home. God answered my prayers. Like I said, he has always answered my prayers and always helped me when I really needed help, you know? And so I went home and they said that my sister was on another island. That's why they couldn't get a hold of her. But they were actually looking for me and they couldn't find me because we weren't on campus. You know, I guess it was like a break or something. And so my mother called the police and the police got the UN involved and they searched for me and they found me. Yeah. And I went home. So that was one of the things. The other one of the other things, not like you said, not to give the book away too much. I was playing a game with my sister after I had came back from Africa and we were playing Truth or Dare. Bunch of friends were there. I was 12 years old and we're sitting down, we're playing this Truth or Dare. And when it got to my part, they said, go in the bathroom cabinet and take all the pills that are in there. So they were just kids too. They didn't know.
They didn't know the consequence of all of that.
So I went to the cabinet and I took a bottle. And I said, one bottle? And they said, yeah, one bottle. Take the whole bottle. I took the whole bottle. And I woke up in a mental institution. Bound. My legs were bound and my arms were bound. And I woke up there. And my mother came in, you know, an hour later or so. And I said, you know, what happened? And she said, yeah, what happened? And I said, we were playing, didn't Tina tell you, as my sister who was playing the game with us. And she said, yeah, she said, you just took some pills. So I said, well, we were playing a game and I didn't know the pills would put me to sleep, but I had actually died. And they, you know, revived me and pumped my stomach and everything. And, so my sister was afraid to tell anyone that we were playing this game. And, you know, she told me to take these pills. And so they thought that I tried to commit suicide, you know, which I hadn't. And so my mother said, you know, please let my daughter out of here because they were all adults. There were no children in there. There was no segregated areas. There were men, women, children, you know, but I was the only child at that time. It was Kings County Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. And my mother begged them to let me, you know, come home. And I did. And she'd making me this special meal, you know, that cornbread, fried chicken, all this stuff. And I'm tearing it up. And all of a sudden there's a knock at the door and the police were there. And they said that I had to go back to the mental institution because legally, if you try to commit suicide, you have to be remanded to the state for, I think it was 3 weeks or something like that. I forget how long it was. And so they handcuffed me and took me back to the mental institution. I was there for a while. Oh my goodness. It was horrific.
Being there when you don't need to be there. And then there's so just working in these systems, you know, they're just, the intention again is good to there to help people, but sometimes we miss the mark because we don't listen back to communication, right? We don't listen to people. We don't value people enough to respect their voices. And when we do that, things like this happen when people are in places where they don't need to be. I mean, the institutions are there for a reason and they're helpful. You know, I'll be the first to say that I was in one, you know, for 14 years ago. I was so depressed. And contrary to you, I actually had the intention of taking the whole bottle. And, you know, thank God, I really was seeing a counselor. And so I reached out and ended up, you know, in the ER. And then from there, went into a psychiatric hospital for a week. And I needed that. And that, you know, changed the whole course of my life because from that point forward, I chose life. I chose to live. And
you got
all
the
stuff I do today because of what I've been through. You know, so there's a, so all that's, I share my story to say that there is a place for that, for people like me who needed it 14 years ago.
Right.
But then there's people like you say, that was not your situation, but nobody listened.
At
no
that
one
time.
Listened enough. Well, they heard what you said, right? They didn't believe, believe you. They didn't respect the patient's voice in order to, you know, to give you the care that you needed. That's not what you needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you need help, I'm a firm believer in, get it, the mind is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And, I try to teach my daughter now, the mind is so powerful. It's like a machine. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize is that you have to guide it. You can't let it run rampant.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't. This is an example, real quick. My mom, and they've done studies, they've written books on this. My mom was walking and she was getting ready to fry fish. So she had cut the fish up and she used to cut the fish with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
So the hatchet was on the end of the counter and it fell. And, she kept walking because she heard it fall, but she kept walking.
Mm-hmm.
And when she turned around to walk back, she realized there was blood. Well, the hatchet had fell and hit the back of her foot. Okay. Now here's my point. The reason why that didn't hurt her was because she didn't see it.
Okay? Mm.
The brain has to be able to see it in order to send those messages for pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the brain will do certain things automatically,
mm-hmm.
protect you, make you forget things. It, mm-hmm. it does stuff to protect you. Okay.
Yeah.
And if we can learn how the brain works, okay, we'll be so much better off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because dealing with trauma and stressful situations, what I do is I ask God to calm me. Help me get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And in seconds later, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also telling the brain, because the brain will go for fight or flight.
Yeah.
It's a mechanism.
Human reaction, right? It's like if you go out in the cold, you're going to feel cold. If you go out when it's 100 degrees, you're going to sweat. Yeah, it's
exactly.
A natural reaction. Yeah.
Natural reaction. So they have done studies that they've had people that say, in the study, there's a study done, and I'm not sure exactly where it was done, but they had skinny people and they had heavy people. And the skinny people kept saying, oh, I'm so skinny. Wish I could gain some weight. And the fat people kept saying, oh, I'm so fat. Well, the more they said that, the fatter they got and skinnier they got, because the brain made it happen. Okay.
Yeah.
So then they told the people and they gave them these placebos and said it was a weight loss program and a weight gaining program. And they told them that, we want you to start saying you're skinny. Well, I'm not skinny. Okay, well, we want you to start saying you're skinny because they said the pill needs to work with you saying that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the heavy people started to lose weight. And they were only given a Tic Tac. They weren't given any medication.
They started
to lose weight and the skinny mm-hmm. people started to gain weight. So you can tell the brain that this trauma is over. This isn't so bad. I'm going to get through this. You can do that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And your brain will listen and you'll feel okay and you'll be better equipped to deal with the problem.
Yes, yes. Oh, right on. I was actually mm-hmm. in a meeting last night and I was actually teaching about that, about, how our brains do not know the difference between our imagination and reality. Our brain thrives with the information we give it. Just mm-hmm. like if I start thinking, oh, this is the end of me, I'm going to start feeling as this is the end of me.
Exactly.
But if I start telling myself, okay, I can get through this, you're going to start feeling as if you can get through this. Right.
But so we have to do that because exactly. life is sometimes very stressful,
It is.
Even our daily lives, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about only trauma. I'm talking about daily life.
Daily stressors.
Stressors. You could call somebody 5 hours and be like, why isn't this person picking up? Mm-hmm. That's stressful.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
everything, you know, a lot of things in life today are very stressful. So if we can learn to deal with that, mm-hmm. we can get through things much better.
Yes.
You know, yeah. and with God's yeah. help, you yeah. need God's yeah. help for that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So just a lot of nuggets here. Speak to your brain, right? Communicate with yourself to acknowledge these emotions, you know, see other people's perspectives because you never know what they're going through, you know, share your thoughts and challenges, bring it to God in prayer. He's there to help you, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to be forcing you. He's going to wait for you to come into, you know, to come to him and share your desire and your needs. And then he empowers you, you know, to make those things happen. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us here, China. So tell me, where can people find your book?
Okay. My book is in Barnes and Noble's awesome. And it's ebook. It is, you can go to the Barnes and Noble store and you can get it in paperback and you can get it on ebook, whichever you prefer. Amazon, you can go on Amazon and you can get it in ebook and you can also get it in paperback. I would say go to Amazon because it's easier to find there. It's hard to find in other places. I have it in Kobo and Smashwords, mm-hmm. but it's easier to find it on Amazon. And it is A Letter to God by China Myers. You just put that in a search. And I am one of the first books there, A Letter to God. There are other letters to God and you know, my letter, whatever. But mine is A Letter to God by China Myers. And I'm also on LinkedIn and I'm under China, just China.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm not on any other social medias, but just LinkedIn.
Okay, that's totally fun. And we'll be sure to share those links with people, you know, the one for LinkedIn and you know, the one for the book on Amazon. Thank you
and
so
you can
much
also
for...
find my yeah. website, I'm sorry, on just look for inspirational public speaker and screenwriter and you'll find it, my website.
Okay, thank you. Like I said, you know, you and I will talk a little, we'll add those direct links so it's easier for people to just click and go there. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for being here today and thank you for being here on this earth and sharing, you know, those nuggets of wisdom and strength that you've learned through trials and helping others find resilience.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.